Well, good morning, church family, and Merry Christmas, although Christmas, of course, is now all finished for another year. And my dad used to say it's all over but the crying, so hopefully there's no crying. Hopefully you've had a great Christmas, and now we're hard to believe. We're heading towards the end now of 2020, just a few more days, and this year will be wrapping up. I remember back at the start of this year, 2020, on January 5th, the first Sunday of the new year, I preached kind of a New Year's message, and as part of that message, I gave you my top 10 predictions for 2020. You probably don't remember what they were, but let me review really quickly what I said back in early January. My top 10 predictions for 2020. In 2020, the Bible will still be true, prayer will still work, the Holy Spirit will still move in mysterious ways, God will still inhabit the praises of His people, and the proclamation of God's Word will still change lives. In 2020, God will still pour out His blessings upon His people. The blood of Jesus will still wash away our sins. Jesus will still seek and save those who are lost. God will still love you, and there will still be room at the cross for you. And I'm happy to report that all 10 of those predictions happened this past year. But I also gave you one other additional prediction last year. Again, you probably don't remember it, but take a look on the screen. This is what I said. In 2020, things will change. Do you remember me saying that? In 2020, things will change. Now, I've mentioned this before. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. And I work for a nonprofit organization. But I got to tell you, this one here, I nailed it last year. Although I think none of us, myself included, none of us could have envisioned what changes were coming in just a few months as we entered 2020. On January 5th last year, we studied Jeremiah 29. And we asked the question, how do we respond in changing times? Let me just quickly tell you what we said last year. And these things, by the way, were good for 2020. They're good for 2021 as well. But I said this, based upon Jeremiah 29, in changing times, we need to live today. In changing times, we need to trust God's plan. And in changing times, we need to seek the Lord. And we've needed all three of those as we move through the challenges of this past year. Now, this morning, I want to add two more principles to those three. And these two principles actually come out of the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, and that's where we'll be this morning, and I'm just going to pray and commit our time to the Lord. So Luke chapter 1, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You today as we prepare to wrap up this year. You have been so faithful. You have been so good. You've been so consistent. In the midst of changing times, Lord, You have not changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in that we rest, in that we stand, and in that truth we face the future. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we again open Your Word, particularly to the life of Mary and what she experienced, that the turbulence of her life and how she handled it would give us instruction as to how to handle the challenges that are before us as well. So bless us as we study Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you look on the screen, I have a question for you. What do the following books have in common? The Pickwick Papers, The Old Curiosity Shop, Oliver Twist, David Copperfield, Great Expectations, A Tale of Two Cities, and A Christmas Carol. What do all of those books have in common? Of course, you probably know by now that the answer is they all were authored by Charles Dickens. And you'll see a picture of Charles Dickens there. Perhaps his best loved, I think his best loved piece of work is what we typically enjoy at Christmas time, A Christmas Carol. But I think of all of his works, the best known opening to one of his books would be the book called A Tale of Two Cities. And his opening paragraph of that book, in fact, it's a paragraph, but it's actually one big run-on sentence. Many people are familiar, at least with the start of it. I'm not going to read all of it because it's quite lengthy, but let me read you a little bit of how this book begins. Charles Dickens writes, "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity." Now, I had to look up that word. I didn't know what that word meant. Incredulity means unwilling or unable to believe. And so he says it was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was this winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. Doesn't that sound like COVID-19 to you? Doesn't that sound like the year 2020? It's amazing to me how we can look at a singular event and come to the conclusion that it's both good and bad. Or as Charles Dickens said, we come to the conclusion that it was the best of times while also being the worst of times. Perhaps for some, as they look at 2020, they would say, you know what, as I reflect on this past year, it was the best of times. I mean, if you had stocks in Amazon or in Pfizer, if you had a plexiglass business or a hand sanitizer business, you're probably saying, man, it was the best of times. But there are others of you saying, it wasn't the best of times, Dave. It was the worst of times. 2020 was filled with frustration. It was filled with fear. It was filled with loss. It was filled with pain. And so you would say, not only am I glad to say goodbye to 2020, good riddance, perhaps, to 2020. This past year, it was the best of times. It was also the worst of times. And for most of us, it was probably a mixture of those two. Now, the question we have to wrestle with is the same question we wrestled with last year. How does God want us to respond in those kind of times? When things are up or when things are down, when life is like a roller coaster, what does God want us to do? And I believe at least part of that answer is tucked right in here in Luke chapter 1, right in the middle of the Christmas story. And the reason I say that is because of this. What we say about 2020, we say that this was the best of times and the worst of times. What we say about this year could also be said about the year that Jesus was born. Because the year that our Savior was born was also the best of times and the worst of times. Let me explain. Think about this. When Jesus was born, Judea was a vassal state of the Roman Empire. The people of God at that point in history, they were under the rule of an empire that could really care less about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The ruler of the known world at that point, Augustus Caesar, he ruled the empire with an iron fist. King Herod, who was one of his minions, who ruled over an area called Judea where Mary and Joseph were living, he also was part of that rule. And if you know, of course, the Christmas story, King Herod shows up in the Christmas story. He's the king that the three wise men came to visit, and they came looking for a newborn king to worship him. And King Herod was so insecure and so territorial, of course, when they did not return to him with news of where this king was. If you know the story, sadly, this king ordered the murdering of every baby boy, 2 years of age or younger, in the city of Jerusalem, in the surrounding area. I am not exaggerating when I say it was the worst of times. People were struggling. Poverty, sickness were rampant. Frustration, hopelessness, it was the order of the day. And on top of that, if that's not bad enough, on top of that, God and his prophets had been silent for 400 years. They hadn't heard from the Lord in centuries. And everybody was sort of wondering and whispering, where is the Messiah? When is God going to march into this world and throw off the oppression of the Roman Empire? When is God going to walk into my life and make things right? Do you ever wrestle with that kind of a question? Do you ever wonder when God is going to walk into your life and deal with the pain and deal with the problems and deal with the pressures you're facing? Well, at this point in history, the year Jesus was born, I got to tell you, it was the worst of times. And yet, in the middle of that mess, God is about to do a miracle. And let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And you know this, but I'm going to read these verses. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Many of you are familiar with the story. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces that she's going to have a baby. That's very exciting news. You're going to have a baby, but not just any baby. This baby will be the Messiah. This baby will be the Savior of the world. She would be impregnated with the Son of God. It would be a what they would call an immaculate conception or a miraculous conception by the power of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps to summarize this whole set of verses, I would go to verse 30, where the angel Gabriel said to her, you have found favor with God. Mary, you are favored. God's about to do something incredible in you and through you. Now, this is pretty heavy stuff for a teenage girl. Certainly at this point, you'd have to say, man, this is the best of times for Mary. And yet, even though it was the best of times, it was also, I think, the worst of times. What's she going to tell her fiancé, Joseph? How will he respond? Surely when she says to him, you know, honey, I'm pregnant, surely he will assume the worst. He'll assume that she's been fooling around, and he'll probably flip out to some degree. And then what about her parents? Can you imagine having to sit down with your parents and have this discussion? Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. I haven't slept with anybody. It's God who got me pregnant, right? Who's going to believe that kind of a message, that kind of a story? This is stranger than fiction. This is Twilight Zone kind of stuff. And I have to assume for Mary, it is the best of times. An angel has just shown up in her life, but it's also the worst of times. And again, the question is, what's Mary going to do? How is she going to respond to this roller coaster? Well, I believe her response, we're going to see in a moment here, I believe her response displays her maturity in the Lord. And I also believe that her response blazes a trail for you and me to follow. As we enter a brand new year, a roller coaster year, her response shows us the way. And so I want us to notice two very simple things from this text this morning. First is this: Mary chose to humbly submit to God's sovereignty. She chose to humbly submit to God's sovereignty, even though she didn't really fully understand what was going on or what God was up to. You say, Dave, how do you know that? Well, I know that from verse 38. Notice again, verse 38, she says, at the end of this dialogue with the angel, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She says, I am the Lord's servant. The Greek word here is actually the word doulos. It could be translated slave. This word doulos means someone who belongs to another. A slave is someone who belongs to somebody else. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's slave. He's my master. And so I come under his authority. I come under his headship. I come under his lordship. It's the same thing, actually, that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you remember what Paul said there, and he's speaking to you and I, even as believers today, he says to us, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So in other words, you don't belong to you. You belong to somebody else. And of course, we know that the one we belong to as a believer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the master. We are the slave. And we need to come under his headship, his lordship, his authority. Mary chose to do that. She chose to humbly to submit to God's sovereign plan, even though she really didn't know how it was all going to work out. And secondly, I love this one. Mary chose to touch God with praise, regardless of the circumstances of her life. Now, to me, this is maybe the most exciting thing about what I want to share this morning, is the fact that, because we've been doing this whole series, right, A Touch of Christmas. We began by talking about the fact that God wants to come down and touch our lives and impact us. And then God wants to move through us to impact others. Remember, we've talked about the fact that we have the privilege of touching our family, and we can touch our neighbors, and we can touch the forgotten or the forsaken around us. It's so exciting to think that God can work in me and through me. But beyond that, isn't it exciting to know that in the midst of all this stuff, I can also touch God, that I can touch God with my praise? And I see Mary doing that. Look at the story, verse 39. Let's keep reading. It says, at that time, Mary got ready, and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And now, what's about to come out of her, I think these are not just her words. These are the words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, and I love this, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who's believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. You know, in this section, Mary does what I think most women do. When a guy is confronted with a challenge or a problem, often we as guys, we pull back and get to ourselves and try to figure it out. But when a lady is confronted with a crisis or an issue or a challenge, many times what they will do is they'll seek out the comfort, the counsel, the fellowship of another woman. And that's what Mary does. She goes to her cousin, Elizabeth. And of course, we've read in the story, Elizabeth is also pregnant, 6 months along. If you know the story, she will eventually give birth to John the Baptist. But Mary goes to Elizabeth, I think out of her excitement, but also out of her questions and out of her burden about the situation that's come upon her. And I love what Elizabeth does. Elizabeth is used by God to reassure Mary that God's plan and God's purposes are good. Mary, these are good things. Notice, for example, verse 42, she says to Mary, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you bear. Mary, this is not a curse. What's coming upon you right now, even though you don't understand, and it seems that maybe Joseph won't understand or your parents will be upset, what's happening to you is not a curse. It's a blessing. You are blessed. The baby you're carrying is blessed. And then verse 45, she says, blessed is she who's believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. In other words, Mary, you're going to be blessed because you're going to take a stand. You're going to believe that what God's doing is good and that he has plans and purposes that are positive, and you're going to trust in the Lord. And so Elizabeth, I believe, is used by God to just reassure Mary that his plans, his purpose, his will, they're all good. And then in response to that, Mary breaks out in this incredible, spontaneous song, this new song to the Lord. And honestly, this is one of my favorite parts of the whole Christmas story is what Mary says next. Notice verse 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. I'm going to pause and have a drink of water. Alex, you can edit this if you'd like. I can feel my throat. Verse 52, he's brought down rulers from their thrones. He's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but he's sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And then verse 56 says that she stayed with Elizabeth. Mary stayed with her for about 3 months and then returned home. All right, so that's Mary's expression of praise. Do you know what that song is called? It's often referred to as the Magnificat. Have you ever heard of that phrase, the Magnificat? That's a Latin term which means to magnify. And that's what Mary does. She says, I want to magnify, my soul magnifies the Lord. She expands our vision of His excellence. She amplifies our appreciation of His awesomeness. She broadens our understanding of His blessings in our lives. She magnifies the Lord. And this Magnificat is so magnificent. You know, we're barely scratching the surface this morning, but I want to encourage you, maybe even over these quieter days of Christmas, to spend a little bit of time here in Luke 1, particularly in Mary's song of praise, and to look at the words and to look at the history. And I guarantee you'll be blessed as you read how Mary blesses the Lord. But for our purposes today, we need to sort of summarize it all. So I've boiled these 10 verses, this expression of praise, into two phrases. This is what I think Mary's saying in her song. She's saying, God, You're sovereign. God, You're sufficient. Would you say that with me? God, You're sovereign. God, You're sufficient. And in the midst of change, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of confusion, by faith, she lifts up her voice, she lifts up her heart, she lifts up her hands, and she chooses to touch God with her praise. Now, in just a few days, in only, what, 4 more days, this year is going to wrap up. 2020 will be no more. We'll be looking at it in the rearview mirror. And then we'll be embarking on a brand new year, 2021. A year filled with, it's going to be filled with ups and downs, twists and turns. It's going to be like a roller coaster. In fact, I have a prediction for 2021. Let me give it to you. Here it is. You'll see it on the screen. In 2021, things are going to change. You say, Dave, that sounds an awful lot like last year's prediction. I know, but last year's worked, so I thought I'd try it again. But it's true. In 2021, things are going to change. They are. And the question will be again this year, how are you and I going to respond when things are up, when things are down, when things go right, when we thought they were going to go left? How will we respond? Well, as we wrap up today, I would remind you, first of all, of what Jeremiah 29 taught us. Jeremiah says, in changing times, live today. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Try to live today. In changing times, trust God's plan. In changing times, seek the Lord. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, she would hasten to add 2 more principles for us to consider this year and to try to apply this year. First of all, she would say, in changing times, submit. Submit to God's sovereignty, submit to His lordship, submit to His timing, even when you don't really fully understand what He's up to. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to declare with your lips and with your life and with your heart, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of my life. He's Lord of my family. He's Lord of my past, my present, my future. He's Lord of my circumstances. Are you willing to say, Jesus, You are Lord, You're Master? Boy, we need to do that. We need to do that at the start of a new year, but we need to do that all the time. And by the way, I want to quickly mention this. I think that kind of declaration is at the heart of what baptism is all about. When a person is baptized, they're simply saying, hey, I'm under new management. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And the life I now live, I live by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to take that step of obedience. But it's a declaration. You are Lord, Master. And I'm choosing to submit to Your headship. That's the first thing Mary would say. And then secondly, she would say, in changing times, not only submit, but in changing times, praise. Praise. Whether things are up or things are down, whether it's the best of times or the worst of times, by faith, rise up and declare, God, You are sovereign. God, You are sufficient. Choose to reach out and touch God with your praise. May it be so. Let's pray together. Thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. Thank You for the life of Mary, who models for us what it is to try to live out a life of faith in the best and worst of times. Thank You, Lord, that she made some simple decisions that sort of set the tracks of her life. She chose to submit to You and chose to praise You. And Lord, if we would just do even those 2 things this coming year, things would be better off. Our mind, our emotions, our spirit, we would be stronger and more stable if we would even choose to do those two things. So help us, Lord. And we again confess that this turbulence disturbs us. It upsets us. It confuses us. But we're so thankful, Lord, that you are the rock that doesn't move. And we again just declare today as we wrap up this service and this time, we declare one more time, Lord, you're sovereign, but you're also sufficient. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.